Excellent. I've realized that I've been given the raw deal on the summer gatherings. Not only do we have new chairs, and so we're all feeling a little bit giddy sitting on the new chairs, but you have all been armed before I stand up to speak. I'm not expecting anyone really to give me a great deal of attention while I'm talking, but let's see what we can do. My name is Alan. I'm part of the staff team here. I'm married to Helen. I have three fabulous children. And it is my privilege to share something with you today. There will be a PowerPoint that comes up behind me in a little while. There we go. And our theme, as Liam's already mentioned, for this summer is that we love church. And if you've been around for the first few weeks of the summer, you would have heard Mick start things off with, "We love church because it's God with us." And he had various sections of the church shouting things out. Last week, we had the fabulous Bryony, and she took us on a little whirlwind journey to Argos and a history tour back to 2012 and the Olympics looked at We Love Church because it's personal. And today, what I'm looking at is that we love church because it works. And our verse from the Bible today, which will come up behind me as well, is, "Let us not become weary in doing good." And that's from Galatians, a book in the Bible, chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, we know that the Christian life is good, and it is all about who we are, that Jesus has died for us, that because of that we have peace with God, and we're in a really great place because of what Jesus has done for us. But not only is it about us and who we are in God, but it's also about what we do. So today we love church because it works. And as Christians, we work on God's behalf and we do good for God. So that's where we're going. I'm going to introduce you now to my dad. He lives in the south of the country. And when my mum died some 15 years ago, he bought a lot of things that he would never, ever be allowed to buy when my mum was alive. And here is one of those things appearing on the screen right now. There you go. He bought for himself a little red sports car. And that's not a picture of my dad's actual MGF. But what we have there is a scene in the hills, in the wilds of Scotland. We have the top down. No doubt the person driving it was absolutely freezing. But we have the top down. And there is an image there of the open road, the top down, the hair rustling through what little hair he's got left. The open road, the exhilaration, the passion of driving the sports car. And if you can't afford a Ferrari, then maybe an MGF is for you. Now, I have another picture. This is a picture of where this little red sports car spent most of its life whilst in the possession of my father. Okay, one, two, three, here we go. There we go. That is from Google Maps. That is my dad's house. And the garage there on the left-hand side is where that little red sports car spent most of its life. Thank you. I think that was fitting. Well done. It did. It spent an awful lot of time in that garage. And the point is, in looking at my dad's little red sports car, is that we, you and I, as members of God's church, are designed for the open road. We're designed to be doing good. We're designed to be at work for God, doing good in this world. And sometimes, like my dad's MGF, we can get a little bit stuck in the garage. And we can feel a little restless. And we know deep inside that there is more to life than often the boring routine that we can get stuck in. That there is an open road for each of us, top down, wind rustling through what hair we have left, adventure that lies await for us if we can only get the flipping garage door open. So that's my dad's MGF. My wife, Helen, and I have recently celebrated our 20 years of marriage together. Very good, very good. Anybody been married for more than 20 years? We're coming for you. We are. We're catching you up. And those of you who know Helen and I will know that in a previous incarnation, Helen was a history teacher. So as we managed to dispense with our children to Soul Survivor and to the Oaks and have a few blissful days away, there are one or two historic sites that we like to take in, whether we've got children with us or not. But it was no different when we were away celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary. There were at least two people when we mentioned that we were on our 20th wedding anniversary that said, "You don't look old enough." And at least one of them revised that and said, "Helen, you don't look old enough. You, on the other hand." And they didn't even know us. What can we say? But while we're away, we took in one or two historic places. And so in that vein, I have a little bit of a quiz. I'm going to ask you if you know who the person is that appears on the screen. So here we go. Who is this? Oh, very good. I mentioned to the person in the balcony that it was me, and she said, "Really?" And I said, "No, it's really not." But there we go. So, who is this? Anybody shout out? Oh, Wesley. No. We go, shout out. It's not me, no. Okay, so another clue a little bit later in his life. Who is this? This is obviously the rock star phase. Very good. We all have those in our teen years. Very good. Any idea who this is? Anyone? There's one or two rumblings. Perhaps you know him a little bit more like this. Here we go. He never did grow out of that rock star phase, did he? Who is it? Nice and loud. Sir Isaac Newton. Yeah, and there's a final picture here in his bedroom, which we visited, doing experiments on the properties of life, light. And I have here an apple from that very tree that he sat under all of those years ago when he discovered the theory of gravity. Now, does anybody here know what Sir Isaac Newton was supposed to be? Minting money? No. Anybody else? Anybody else know what he was supposed to be? He was supposed to be a farmer. Not only was he supposed to be a farmer, well done. Extra chocolate biscuit at the end there for you, Chris. Well done. Not only was he supposed to be a farmer, he was supposed to be a sheep farmer. But Sir Isaac Newton was possibly the worst sheep farmer to ever walk the face of the earth. He once went off to market with his horse and with one of his servants, and he returned later with a head in his book, having forgotten to bring his horse and his servant back with him and anything else he went to market for. Who knows? He was an absolutely rubbish sheep farmer. He was due to inherit his father's estate, a sheep farmer. He was supposed to be doing that. Now, the point of this is that like Sir Isaac Newton, you may not feel that you're very good at what it is that you're being asked to do. You may feel that there is a certain thing that you should be doing and that you feel pretty average at doing it at best. And I'd just like to say to you today, if that's you, brilliant. I think that that's really, really good. And the reason that I say that is that we can often fall into the trap of looking around us and thinking, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't our lives be better if we were a little bit more like that other person? That wouldn't it be easier if I could do what Jim and Linda do? I know there are some Jims in today. I don't know whether there are any Lindas. But wouldn't it be great if perhaps I were a little bit more organized or a little bit more determined or a little bit more outgoing or if I had a bigger house or more time? And all of that is nonsense because God has made and crafted each one of us. He has a design and a plan for your life. He has, as the Bible says, prepared good works in advance for us to do. And your life and your circumstances are no mistake. The Bible says that he knew you even before you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb. That every day of your life is written in his book. He knows what he has for you. And there are often times where we get stuck being sheep farmers when we're not designed to be sheep farmers. And if you're a dreamer and if your head is in a book or if you are in a place where you don't feel that you're living out who it is that God has made you to be, then there is still time. The garage door is not locked. It is open, and we have an opportunity to take to the open road and to do the very thing that God has called and designed us to do. And here at church, we love church because it works. And as a community, we are making a difference. And I love the story and what Molly had to share in terms of she just loves coming, although she's got a busy job, because she knows that she is doing something. She is doing something good and bringing something of God into the kids and the youth of the church's lives. There was a recent survey conducted across Sheffield. There's lots going on across the nation. And it was a survey of the good, the works that the city were doing, that the faith organizations were doing in the city. And they counted 723 projects, 124,000 beneficiaries of those projects, 4,250 volunteers contributing over 1.2 million volunteer hours across Sheffield. Now, they're just the organised events that churches and other faith organisations are up to, and that doesn't count all the other stuff that can't be counted. And here at Crooks, we have unsung heroes raising aspirations, supporting the bereaved, providing meals, visiting the sick, providing transport, befriending, litter picking, working with kids and youth, working with the elderly, internationals, helping with parenting, marriage, relationships, feeding the homeless, working with the poor, helping those in debt, supporting kids and parents with education. We have businessmen and women, people in the health service, education, teachers, builders, architects, designers, scientists, nurses, cleaners, mathematicians, artists, lecturers, shop assistants, doctors, tree surgeons, engineers, speech therapists, nursery workers, gardeners, physiotherapists, civil servants, physicists, accountants, solicitors, musicians, stay-at-home mums, stay-at-home dads, kids, grandparents, students, employed, employers, unemployed, retired, and just the plain tired. All doing good, all doing their best, seeking to make a difference in any way and any place that they can. Here at church, here at STC, we love church because it works, because you work, because we work to make a difference in our lives. And church is where we discover who we are. It's where we discover our unique gifts and personalities. It's where we get involved. It's where we learn how to make a difference. You are all amazing people, and you are deeply loved by God. And today, I just want to remind you that you are not little red sports cars shut in the garage. You are free to play your part, and I thank God that we all do in our own way. And if you don't feel that you fit, or if you feel that what is being asked of you, you can't do, or if you don't feel good enough this morning, I want you to remember Sir Isaac Newton, the dreamer, the really rubbish sheep farmer, and know that God has a plan for you, a good and perfect plan. So church, let's not grow weary in doing good. Let's press on. Encourage one another. Build one another up, spur one another on. Let us not become weary.